ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
विषयादि निवर्तन्ते निराहारस्य देहिनः रसवर्जं रसस्य परं दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते। विषयादि निवर्तन्ते निराहारस्य देहिनः रसवर्जं रसोऽप्यस्य परं दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते। विषयादि निवर्तन्ते निराहारस्य देहिनः रसवर्जं रसोऽप्यस्य परं दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते।
Translation: the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. By choosing such engagements, by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Previous point: the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But seizing such engagements, by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So in the previous class we were discussing about the qualifications of a sthita prajna. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is speaking of a particular type of person called a sthita prajna. Sthita prajna is a perfect being, a person who has perfected his life. So Arjuna asked many questions to Krishna about what are the symptoms of a person who has become self-realized, who is fixed in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna has been answering. In the last week we saw this verse which said that he is free from desires for sense gratification and is always fixed in the platform of the soul, surrender to Krishna. So today we are seeing one more symptom mentioned here. I will read a little bit from the purport of the previous verse, very interesting. The test of a yogi, devotee, or self-realized soul is that he is able to control the senses according to his plan. Most people, however, are servants of the senses and are thus directed by the dictation of the senses. That is the answer to the question as to how the yogi is situated. The senses are compact as venomous serpents. They want to act very loosely and without restriction. The yogi or the devotee must be very strong to control the serpents like a snake charmer. He never allows them to act independently. There are many injunctions in the Arabic scriptures. Some of them are do nots and some of them are do's. Unless one is able to follow the do's and the do nots, restricting oneself from sense enjoyment, it is not possible to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So here, as we are seeing now, last week also we heard about how to become free from desires. Let me see whether anybody said about how many of you are present for the last week? Okay. So what is the method of becoming free from desires? are you expected to go to forest and eat kandamool and live alone, away from society? What was the answer from the last week's class? Who can tell the answer? That means that replace our material desires by spiritual desires. So our heart is full of material desires, so they are very difficult to overcome. But what is our procedure? Replace them with spiritual desires. Yeah. Similarly, here also Krishna is talking about Vishaya. Vishaya means objects for sense enjoyment. It is said, out of the two things, Vishaya and Visha. What is Visha? Visha is poison. Vishaya means sense object. Which is more dangerous? Visha or Vishaya? Yes? Yeah, sense object. Vishaya is more dangerous. Why is it so? Because when you consume Visha or poison, then we may perish, we may leave this body, we may die, but Atma can get another body. But by indulging in Vishaya, Vishaya means the sense objects, what happens? One may increase the load of sinful activities, and one may suffer life after life, not only in this life, but he'll also suffer next life and so on and so forth like that. One will go on suffering. We were actually elaborately discussing about this in the last class, about what is actually sense gratification and why should we give it up, isn't it? And one or two classes we have been discussing about that. Why such a kind of restriction is given in the scriptures that you should not do this? Many parents have a difficult time teaching their children and to follow God. Because if you have to follow God, there are so many do's and do nots. Do this and do not do that. So children wonder, why should we accept the do nots? What will happen even if we do it anyway? So this kind of rebellious attitude comes. And anyway, we see that people are indulging in all kinds of sense gratification. So I don't want to keep this term vague, the sense gratification. It's not a very difficult term to understand. We all have objects for our senses, to which we are madly attracted. When an object is used in Krishna service, there is a perfection of the object. So your heart can be in peace. When you use an object for our own pleasure, then that object will bring us suffering. This is a very simple definition. It is said, Atmendriya Priti Vancha Sarabalikam, Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema Naam. Atmendriya means, for our own senses, if we take something and enjoy, it's called as Kama. And if you use the same thing in Lord's service, it becomes Prema. Kama can be converted into Prema. So Kama is the lust for enjoying everything for our own self. And Prema means using it in Krishna's service. So there are so many objects of sense enjoyment available for every one of our senses, for the eyes, for the nose, for the ears, and for the tongue, and for the skin. And not all of them are allowed for human beings' enjoyment. There are restrictions placed. For example, if you take the tongue, human beings are not supposed to eat meat. Prabhupada explains, simple example, a tiger does not eat rice. Tiger will fast and die, but he will never eat rice. Similarly, a cow. Cow may even fast and die, but she will never eat flesh. You try to feed cow flesh, she will never touch it. As soon as she smells that it is flesh, she will immediately avoid it like that. So, we see that in nature, even the animals are following their own nature very properly, the laws of God very properly. But when it comes to human beings, human being is the one who wants to encroach on everything else. He wants the vegetables also, and he wants meat also. So he has coined a new term. If you ask the human being, are you herbivorous or are you carnivorous? What will he say? Omnivorous. So it's a new term he has coined. We are omnivorous. We want this also, you want that also. You want both. So then it is called as the greed of the tongue. It's called the greed of the tongue. So there are many people who argue that, you know, there is protein, there is this, that, so many things in the meat and we can be healthy. But there are many reasons given how it is detrimental to even physical health. What is speak of meat being costly or meat being undigested and all that. So, this is one example. It's called a sense gratification. That means if one wants to eat meat or drink wine, smoke a cigarette, these are all considered greed for the mouth or for the tongue, like that. Similarly for the eyes, what is seeable and what is not seeable. Similarly for the nose, what can be smelled, what should not be smelled. For the ears also. So, every one of the senses has been given a quota within which one can accept the minimum whatever is required for enjoying. Like Chanakya Pandit, he says the symptoms of civilized behavior, He says that Matravat Paradaresha. He says that a civilized man should have only one wife and he should not look at other wives lustfully. So Matravat Paradara means another man's wife. One should look at another man's wife as a mother. Paradravyesha Loshtravat. One should not enjoy another man's property. Sometimes you say you go to your shop, you buy some commodity. So you buy the commodity for about say 40 rupees. And you give him 50 rupees. So how much is he supposed to give you back? 10 rupees. And that fellow mistook that 50 rupees to be 100 rupee note. So he gives you 60 rupees back. So what will you do? Will you accept it, put it in the pocket and you come back, or you'll give it back? So it's a good question. Sometimes you say, oh, I gave 50 and I'm getting 60. Back and I get the commodity also free. He is giving me 60 and giving me commodity free. It's very nice. Let me enjoy. So I'm giving you a very small example. When you go to business circle in big levels, these things are happening at very large scale. There are people trying to beat another man with gundas. Sometimes even it can go to the level of murders also. Like that. At big levels. So Paradavesha Loshtravat means one should treat another man's property to be garbage. Is there anyone who will go to a garbage dump and put his hand inside and take out something? You will never touch a garbage dump. It is sinking. Similarly, one should not touch another man's property. Similarly, one should not look at another man's wife with a wrong look. And he says, Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu. One should treat everyone like one's own self. Now you want to be treated very warmly, you treat others very warmly. That is Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu. Like that. So in this way, these kind of tenets, as well as many times in Bhagavad Gita, also teaches what are the restrictions. In our moment, in ISKCON moment, we follow four do nots. No meat eating, no gambling, no form of intoxication, and no illicit sex. By avoiding these four, then we are avoiding sense gratification, unnecessary sense gratification. Then we are not considered greedy. If we follow these four principles, then at once our mind will become very pacified and calm by following these four principles. Now, then a clean life. Then one is leading a clean life. Then in that clean life, then one takes care of the do's also. One associates with devotees, one chants the holy name, one reads shastras, one accepts prasadam. Then it's a very, very clean life. So here he is saying about vishaya. Now one may say, okay, so don't follow these don'ts and all. If I'm indulging in all kinds of activities, what will happen to me? What's the problem? Now, I don't think any problem is going to happen. Prabhupada explains about that in this purport here. He says here, the process of restriction, unless one is transcendently situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. The two things he is saying. The patient, he does not like restrictions. At the same time, he does not lose his taste for the eatables. So Prabhupada is comparing all the living beings to a sick person, a patient. So what are the symptoms of a sick person? When a person is sick, say somebody has fever, you see some symptoms, right? You go and touch his neck, it's hot. And he's not able to do any work. He's like bedridden. He's lying in the bed and his tongue is bitter. And he cannot eat proper foodstuffs. And he feels a kind of irritating feeling in the mind. You know, he's rolling in the bed, he's not able to do any activity. So by these symptoms, you can understand that I'm having fever and I have to take some medicine. In the same way, a conditioned soul who has an intense desire for sense gratification, he is called as a sick person. How can you know? Such a person will exhibit certain symptoms. Like you will see that he is very greedy. He breaks these regulatory principles about what we were discussing just now. And besides that, he will be a godas. You know what is a godas? Godas means servant of his senses. Just like everything will make him, he will be a servant of low, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, matsarya, all these things. Greed, lust, pride, envy, anger, illusion, greed. So you see that he gets angry very fastly. As soon as he talks something, immediately he just flashes up and gets very angry. Similarly, he becomes very lusty. Similarly, he becomes very proud about his things. He always brags about himself. He considers himself very, very great. And wherever he goes, he multiplies his glories and tells people. He has done one thing, he says, I have done 10 things. Similarly, he becomes lusty very easily. He becomes mad after enjoyment. So when they say a person who is sick can be easily seen by the symptoms. Our Devamrupa was teaching us the same shloka in one of the classes. He was telling us, you can easily see, like when a beautiful girl is passing in the street. Just see how many people, like with big eyes, they look at her. They say, so he told, don't look at her, but you look at those people. He said, from seeing the big eyes, you can understand that how much the living entity is eager for enjoyment. So why he gave that example, when we talk of enjoyment, there are many types of enjoyment. Even eating gulab jamun is enjoyment, isn't it? Or eating ice cream is enjoyment. Or hearing some nice music, or some Western music, or Michael Jackson is also enjoyment. So if you are not hearing Hare Krishna, you may be hearing Michael Jackson. So that is also outside the purview of hearing. But these enjoyments are all considered to be minuscule. But amongst all the different enjoyments that a living entity seeks, this enjoyment which that arises out of lust is considered the topmost. And living entity is mad for it. Krishna explains later about that. The whole world is running behind this one principle of the relationship between man and woman. So when Krishna is talking about Vishaya, it includes everything. Like for a small child, the Vishaya is a toy. A small child may be hankering for an aeroplane or, you know, or for a tricycle. We all in our childhood, you can remember, you must aspire for some particular toy. You know, whether my parents will give me a tricycle. And then when you grow up, then tricycle is not of any more interest, you throw it away. Then you have a bicycle then. And then after some time when you become an engineer or a doctor, then you have, you know, your own scooter, then you have the Maruti, and then, you know, you have many, many more things like that. So in this way, at every age you will see that we have many sense objects that allude us to do wrong things. You can easily see that you know you should not do it, but you will anyway do it. That is the actual meaning of lust. Lust means, as Arjuna also asked later, as he says, Kamesha Pradesha, Krishna answered it. Atakena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha. Anichanati vajnaya baladiva. Baladiva means like somebody catching your neck and, you know, pushing you to do a wrong thing. Like you don't want it, but somebody from behind appears to be pushing you to do that wrong thing. That is actually the lust, Krishna explains. It is lust only Arjuna. So, if we all analyze our own lives, certainly there are moments in which we do things which we are not supposed to do. We think of things which we are not supposed to think of. We speak things which we regret later that we should not have spoken. Isn't it? If we all look back at our own lives, why did I behave so angrily with that person? Just see, that person is now completely broken down. How am I going to pacify that person? So it's anger. Sometimes you become lusty. And because of that, one may read pornographic books, one may see blue films, one may... because of such things, what happens? Mind gets more and more polluted by that. Similarly, when one is greedy, one may do wrong things to achieve some goal in life. You know that person is innocent, but I will cheat him in order to achieve that. Because I feel greed now to have this also and that also. I have seen this even in children. Sometimes children, like, you know, if there are two, three children, one child will take three, four toys, you see. I want this toy also, this toy also, this toy, four toys. And the other child will be crying, please give me one. To say, and this fellow will cry like anything, no, go from here, I want all the toys, you know, like that. So this is actually a sample of greed coming from the previous Purva Janma. So because of that, when you grow up also, what we do the same thing. You become very greedy to possess. And in order to fulfill that, what we do, we try to put off others, pull down others, so that we can get what we want, like that. So these things are, things that trouble us a lot. These are the ones that trouble our mind. Our mind, you will see that the mind is constantly agitated, oscillating. Why it's oscillating? Why our mind is restless? Because of this three great asuras, internal enemies. Kama, krodha, lobha. Like that. And because of this only we are chasing after sense gratification. That's why Prabhupada compares such a person to be a patient or a sick person. So the first thing is to admit that I am a sick person. See, if somebody does not admit, somebody says, who said I am sick? I am quite well. If somebody thinks, I can indulge in these things, and I am happy about it, I have no problem. Then what can be done? You can't do anything. Like somebody that is not even able to perceive the anger, lust and greed in his heart. Rather, he is stupid in sense gratification. Then he will not even realize what he is doing. His person cannot realize. So the first stage is to understand that I am sick. I am in health, unhealthy. and I need to go to a doctor. So who are the people who go to the sadhus and devotees? These are the people who understand that why this vega, vega means the urges, why are they subduing me? Why are these urges making me become a slave of my own mind and senses? I don't want to do these things, but my senses are forcing me to do them. Why? So one can ask this question to answer. Then when one's spiritual life can begin, then one can, that is the vishaya. Vishaya means the sense objects. So one should feel sorry that I am behaving in this way and it is displeasing to God. You know, there is something called as conscience, we call, isn't it? Conscience means the Paramatma, super soul. He tells us that this is not right. Don't do it. So there is an inner call. But then one anyway goes ahead and does it. And then one is regretting with guilty feelings. One is unable to avoid guilty feelings and one is brooding over the past, lamenting about the past. So the nature of the vishaya of this world is such that they are all very attractive. For every one of our senses, there are millions of sense objects. It is said, like for the moth, when the moth is seeing a halogen lamp or whatever, or some fire, when it sees the fire appears to be like a beautiful sunflower for the moth, and he dashes into it. But what happens to him? He gets roasted down. He gets burnt down. He doesn't realize that. So one great poet is singing a song. I think the song, I don't know how it begins, very nice.
Avatara, Gora Avatara.
Anyway, the song, it means like this. It says that there's a pushpa called Palasa Pushpa. Palasa Pushpa is a particular kind of flower which looks very attractive and fragrant. So he says, I tried to take this flower and take it near my nose, and when I inhaled it, what happened? All the worms from inside the flower, they went into my nose. And they went and got inside, and I had a tough time getting them out. He's saying. Similarly, he says, I saw a bamboo and mistook it to sugar cane. Then I took the bamboo and started biting it, and all that I got was only bleeding. And I couldn't get any sweetness from the bamboo stick. Can anybody get a sweetness from bamboo stick? So this body is like bamboo stick only. You cannot give any happiness. This body, if somebody is trying to squeeze some happiness in this body, he is cheating himself. So, Vishaya is considered more dangerous than Visha, poison, because of this reason only. Because the more one tries to enjoy in this world, then one commits wrongdoings, wrong activities, and then one takes next body, second body, third body, fourth body to suffer more and more like that. So such a person is a patient. So does he like the restrictions? No. He says he does not like restrictions. At the same time, he does not lose his taste for eatables. That is his problem. Like imagine a person having say diabetes disease. So for diabetes you are not supposed to eat sweets, isn't it? Very difficult thing, isn't it? Like, you know, Rockefeller, I heard Rockefeller is such a rich man, but he had a chronic constipation. So he, all that he could eat was only vegetable soup, nothing else. He cannot eat sweets, he cannot eat nice preparations. He had only drink liquidy juice only every day. Can you imagine? Somebody may be rich, very wealthy. So there was a jamindar who was very wealthy, and he had this mango orchards, like acres of mango orchards he had, and many, many elephants or mangoes used to come to his house. So he went to the doctor once, and the doctor told him that, my dear friend, you have a diabetes, so you are not supposed to touch any sweets. And he said, you have a lot of mangoes coming, you are not supposed to eat mangoes, he told. And he told the doctor, okay doctor, it's all right, because I want to get cured, you know, completely. Once I get cured, then I can eat. So he went home. But then the season came, and mango season came, and all the mangoes started, becoming so ripe, and they put it in sacks, and they brought it to the house. And they kept in the house, and the servants are bringing big, big bags of mangoes and keeping it. So when the mangoes were passing by, he was getting the smell. Oh, elephants are mangoes, because every year he used to eat a lot. And he has been habituated to do this for several years. Now when the mangoes came, they were smelling so wonderful. So he thought, doctor told me not to eat, what should be done? Then when everyone went away, he went in the night. So he would open the sack and take the mango. He would inhale them. Oh, so fragrant, so nice. Even the fragrance is so nice, how nice if I can cut and, drink the juice. But then he remembered the doctor what he said, then he'll keep it down. So every day he used to go and smell it. But then what happened? After 2-3 days he thought, he brought a knife and he started cutting and smelling more. And then he started eating it. He said, you know, the doctor says if I eat mangoes I will die. And even if I don't eat it anyway I am going to die. So why not eat and die? He thought. So, in the same way, we all in our lives have come across many sense objects prior to coming to Krishna consciousness. Like somebody must have been smoking, somebody must have been boozing, somebody must have been having illicit connections, somebody must have been reading some wrong literatures, bad literatures, somebody must have been watching some bad movies. So, if one has to become Krishna conscious, what should one do? You are restricted to do all these things. So although the restrictions place, what we will do, we will again go back to them. He may say that, you know, no, I am just going to meet my old friends, but I have no bad intent. I am just going to meet them because they are my old friends. In fact, you know, I am trying to bring them to Krishna consciousness. So we may have some justification. We may go there, but then we may get lost. We may also indulge in wrongdoings, what they are doing. And we may never come back probably. Or we may come back with a very weak heart. Even if you go to a place where people are gratifying their senses, you may not even do it. When you come back, you will see a craving seed in the heart. We will have a craving seed. So that seed is good enough to again impel us to indulge in the same wrong act later on. Because the seed will grow into a tree later on. So, the restriction is put in the Shastra. Don't do it. Krishna warns in many places, these things should not be done. So, but here he himself says, it is possible, now you may put a restriction, Vishayavinivartante. Vinivartante means to renounce. One should practice to refrain from these things. Niraharasya dehinaha. Don't give ahar to the different senses like the eyes. You should not, like you've seen those three monkeys, don't see bad things, don't hear bad things, don't speak bad things. Closing them out, three monkeys you have seen. So like that you can put restriction. But Krishna is saying an interesting thing. He says, rasavajyam rasotyasya parandrishvane vartate. Even after you shut your senses, still the desire for enjoying them will remain with you. He says, it will not go away. It will remain with you. You may externally, it's very much easy. You can put a tilak, you can put a kantimala, you can wear sari or dhoti kurta, everything, and you may come to temple, program, everything. But internally, we have not yet given up those wrong desires. Just like, I heard, I saw a beautiful picture in one magazine. This thought came to my mind. One school principal mishandled a girl. This girl was studying in 10th standard. She is studying in 10th standard. She has a beautifully built body. So she went to the principal's office for asking something or giving something. So that principal, he was such an animalistic person, but he bolted the door and was trying to rape her. Somehow she escaped afterwards. But it came in the newspaper. So in the newspaper they had put a very nice picture. What they had put very a man nicely dressed in coat, suit, tie, with shoes and everything, nice looking. But then, behind the picture, they had put a dotted picture, where they had put two horns like this. And then big teeth coming out of the mouth, like that, with nails in the hand and everything. So they had given from the hip, it divides into two bodies. One is a gentleman's body, another one is a demon's body like that. They had put. So what it represents is, externally is very nice looking, but internally he is an animal, like that. So I thought that is relevant to more or less everyone to some extent at least. Externally, because of lokalajja or some, what do you call lokalajja? Lokalajja means for the public opinion. You may be very respectful to others and behave nicely and everything. But internally there is an animal inside the heart. He says in one of the songs also, the disciple of Kamala, in that song he says, but it is like a pashu, he says. The word pashu uses. Pashu means inside there is a kind of animal in our heart. Why is it animal? Animal means which pulls us to do the lower things, the wrong things. So we have a side which is a demon side and we have a side which is a devotee side. So sometimes we behave like a gentleman or a good lady, another time we behave like demoniac like that. So we have two sides. So what is spiritual life? Spiritual life means gradually reducing the demoniac side, little by little by little by little, and finally eliminating it completely. And then on the other side, increasing the divine side. So there is Daivi Sampat, there is Asuri Sampat. So which should we increase? Daivi Sampat means spiritual asset. Asuri Sampat means demoniac asset. Like he says, you know, Dambo, Darpo, Abhimana, Shakrona, Parisha, Nevacha. Ajnanam Chabi Rajasya, Partha Sampadam, Asuri in his day. Asuri means, like, you know, Dambo. Dambo means making a big show of being great. Dambo, Darpo means conceit, pride. Abhimanasya, Krodha, showing anger. Parisha means harshness, behaving harshly. Ajnanam, ignorance. All these things are actually demoniac assets. On the other hand, he is saying, abhayam, fearlessness, sattva samshuddhyam, purification of one's life, jnana yoga varsati, knowledge and all those things. So many, many nice things he is saying, giving charity, living a pure life and all that. So we can do divine activities and become divine, or we can do demoniac activities and become more demoniac and more fallen like that. That is why the shastras are putting restrictions. Now we can understand why they are putting restrictions. Because shastras want to bring out the divinity in us. The shastras want to arouse the divinity in us so that we become divine beings. So our wavelength will match with those living beings in the spiritual sky. So if they are divine, and if we become divine here, then we can go and join that eternal leela of the Lord by becoming divine. We can also go back, come back to Godhead and be with the Lord. That's why that's why they are trying to become divine. And the more you become demoniac, then you may get animal body. You can become a dog or a cat or a cockroach or whatever. You can go down to the lower body. So we don't want to be demoniac. But Krishna says here, that even if you don't want to be demoniac, externally you may be, you know, performing some kind of yoga, either jnana marga or yoga marga, whatever marga you follow. Still he says, that rasa vajjam rasa api asya, that still that taste for material enjoyment remains in the heart. And then says, param drishtva anivartate, by having a superior engagement, one can become free from the lower engagement. Just like I was telling you, a child wants to play in a tricycle. But when he grows up, he gets a bicycle. And no more bicycle when he gets a car. Similarly, all of us, we must have played carom or chess, you know, for some time. And then when you grow up, probably you might have played chess, and then when you grow up, you know, play cricket, or you play football. And then when you still grow up and take up a responsible job in a company, you know, then you have many, many more duties to execute towards wife or husband or children, father, mother. Then you become more responsible. So your childhood proclivities, they disappear when you grow up. Is it true? Huh? All the childhood proclivities, they go away. Because you are no more playing in a tricycle after becoming a, you know, 30 or 40 year old man or woman, isn't it? We just forget that after that. In the same way, he says, param drishtva anivartate. When you see higher things, spiritual things, then one can give up the lower engagement. He is saying that is possible. When one experiences a transcendental pleasure, that's why Prabhupada said this point here. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. So what is the meaning of being transcendentally situated? How can we be situated in the top, transcendentally? This means we have to have spiritual experience. Like every day we chant Hare Krishna. In the beginning when we chant Hare Krishna and follow the principles, we may not get so much taste in the beginning. But as we go on, Prabhupada explains, the first stage in spiritual life is Adho Shraddha. So we have a little bit of Shraddha in the beginning. That maybe something, some element of truth is there in what these people are speaking. You have some faith in this Bhakti Mark. You go to temple, you see the devotees singing, dancing and glorifying by chanting Hare Krishna. So you become little touched by that. Then you want sadhu sangha after that. Then you go to the sadhus and do sangha, associate with them. And by the association what happens? Then bhajana kriya. Then you also start chanting. Then you chant Hare Krishna every day. Then by that what happens? All the anarthas will go away. That's called as anartha nivritti. So all bad habits will go away. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion that many students, American boys and girls, who are indulging in many, many bad habits, as soon as they took to chanting, at once all the bad habits disappeared. Prabhupada was telling one guest who came, he told, just look at these boys, I don't have to stop them from going to movie. They don't want to go. I don't have to stop them from drinking wine. They don't even look at it now, because they are getting a higher taste. So when you get a higher taste, the lower things will automatically go away. Anarthinavritti. Then comes Nishtha. Nishtha means a deep-rooted faith in Krishna consciousness. And all the anarthas go away. And after Nishtha comes Ruchi, the real taste starts, nectar starts flowing. In your heart you will see that when you go to the temple and look at the deities, you will feel so much inspired by them. You'll want to take darshan regularly. Similarly, when you hear the Mahamantra, it will be very tasty to hear. You'll want to chant more and more. Similarly, when you sing bhajans, one will feel a great dependence on the Lord. Similarly, one will start appreciating every living entity. You cannot find fault with anyone. Wherever you turn around, you will see that every living entity is hankering to meet Krishna. So let me help them. So you will come to the mood of helping everyone. And anything one says, Yavam Pashti Sarvata Krishna says, whatever they see, wherever they see Krishna, like that. So in that stage of ruchi, great nectar starts flowing. And there comes asakti, a deep attachment. In asakti stage, one can almost see Krishna face to face. Krishna appears and disappears in asakti stage. And then one comes to bhava and prema. These are different stages. Prema is the last stage. Krishna prema is the stage where one can achieve love for Krishna. In fact, one can see Krishna face to face in the stage of prema, like that. Then one can reciprocate with Krishna like that. So in this way, even if we make little progress in this part of nine stages of bhakti, then gradually that attraction for these wrong things will go away, little by little by little. So this is the only way Krishna is saying. There is no other way. We have to develop a higher taste in spiritual life. Then the lower things will go away. So all of us, we all have different kind of psychophysical natures, and we have different talents and different type of attractions in this world. So we have to dovetail our talents in the Lord's service. Like, you know, when Prabhupada sent the three families to London, they were sent to preach in London. So they came to know about George Harrison in London. George Harrison was like a world figure. He was very, very famous for his Beatles songs. In fact, he was a trendsetter for his period. He would be setting trends for the youth. Whatever type of pants he would wear, others would wear. Whatever type of coat he would wear, everyone would wear. Any song that he would put up, the whole world would be singing, you know. And wherever he would go, lots of people would come to see him. He was a very, very big man of his times, the Beatles group. So devotees wanted to check whether we can attract George Harrison to become a devotee. So they went several times to meet him. So in one such occasion, when devotees went, they were sitting in a big hall. Like, you know, the big hall had a sofa like this all around, and almost 200-300 people were sitting, waiting in the queue to meet George Harrison. So George Harrison came from inside. When he came, opened the door and he peeped out like this, he saw the Hare Krishna sitting this. He came straight to them and he picked them by his hand and told them, "Please come into my office." And everyone was standing looking at him. How this person is not calling us and is taking these people? He took them inside and he sat with them and said, "I have been always searching for all of you for a long time. I heard that Hare Krishna have come to the West. But he said, I got this Hare Krishna in India when I went to India. And I have already started playing." So he played on his instrument and sang the Mahamantra. And devotees were spellbound. They were amazed. And he was asking the meaning of the Mahamantra. So devotees explained. And then devotees told him about Prabhupada also. And they said, "We will arrange a meeting, your meeting with Prabhupada." And Prabhupada met him personally. And Prabhupada gave enough time and wonderful discussion with him. And Prabhupada encouraged him to be a musician. In fact, he became so serious about devotional life. He started chanting 16 rounds. And one time he asked Prabhupada, "Can I join the ashram? Can I be with you like any other celibate?" Prabhupada said, "No, you are a world famous musician. You sing for Krishna," Prabhupada said. "By your singing, the whole world will sing Krishna's names." And later on he got many opportunities in TV to sing. And he wrote many, many songs on Krishna. So he sang many songs on Krishna. And TV also, there was a 20-minute Hare Krishna he sang in TV. 20 minutes worldwide it was telecasted. 20 minutes only Mahamantra he was singing with this instrument. So in this way, George Harrison dovetailed his singing ability in Krishna's service. This way he became glorious in his life. Recently when he passed away, the whole world was remembering his connection to ISKCON and his connection to Prabhupada and his contribution to our society. In his times he gave some 20,000 pounds for printing the Krishna book, which was printed. And you all know Krishna book? He was the one who sponsored the first book. And it was distributed to lots of people like that. And this way, he made his life glorious. All of us have different talents. We all have so many talents, every one of you here. So Prabhupada explains that one should dovetail one's talents in the Lord's service and be engaged. You see, sometimes even children also, they are very naughty sometimes, small children. But if you give them, like, you know, formation of how to form A or how to form B, or how to, you know, play with a cube and bring all the feathers to one side. You know. Once they get an engagement, they become busy with that. And you see that they are, you know, very calm and quiet, and they are busy with the engagement. They don't trouble you anymore. Similarly, we have the nature to always meddle with our mind and senses always. We easily put ourselves in wrong things, especially when our mind is idle. An idle man's brain is a devil's workshop. So when we are idle, that means we are trying to become a devil when we are idle. That's why we should never be idle. At all times, we should see that we have a good engagement. Of course, many people are there in this world who are keeping themselves engaged by doing some social service or they form clubs, this club and that club and so many things in order to keep themselves engaged. But just by doing any engagement, it is not going to free us from the attraction to sense object. There are many activities to do in this world. In fact, there are some activities in the name of going to clubs. People become more degraded by forming clubs. Isn't it? Just by going to some club, you cannot become... It's not just any engagement. It has to be a superior spiritual engagement. So we have engagements in our society. Every morning when you get up, especially for grihastas, there are so many things to set. Like you rise early in the morning, you take a bath, you can maintain a tulasi at home, you can water the tulasi every day, and circumambulate tulasi in all four obeisances. Then you can have deities. If you have deities, you can bathe the deities, you can dress them, you can apply chandan, you can apply tulasi at the feet, you can offer cook bhoga in the kitchen, and offer them bhoga. So when you are offering bhoga to the deities, that means even when you go to the market to buy vegetables, like you see you are buying a potato, oh, this potato is half rotten, so I am buying for the Lord's service, so it's right, you don't accept it. That means even buying a potato or bendi in the market can be Lord's service. Because you have that consciousness, this I am going to offer to the Lord as bhoga. So it's not for my own eating, I am offering to the Lord. So right from that time it begins. And then when you bring the potato home, when you are washing it, it may be very muddy. For our own self, when they are cooking, may be careless. You know, sometimes in a temple I used to tell the brahmacharis, when they are cutting all the, you know, sometimes they used to cut directly when it comes from the market. So what happens? They would tell me when I ask them, hey, why are you not washing it? They would say, no, we are going to wash it later after cutting. But what happens when you cut it like this, the sand particles on the cover, they touch the knife, and when the knife goes inside, due to osmotic pressure, the mud goes inside. And then when you see the cross-section of the other, it will be yellowish. You've seen that? So, if one is doing Lord's service, one can be so conscientious that when you take the olive in the beginning, I'll thoroughly wash it nicely. And then I'll, because it's going to be used for cooking for Krishna. So you wash it nicely and you cut it nicely. In fact, when you make chapati, you roll it nice round, not it becomes a square or a triangle. Because it's for Krishna, Krishna is going to taste it. So I'll make a very nice chapati, very soft. So while cooking, one can be conscious, one can hear kirtans, one can hear lectures, and then one can offer the Bhagavad Lord with as whatever sincerity and love and honesty we have at our disposal. With that we can offer it to Lord. We offer to the spiritual master, and then it goes to the parampara to the Lord like that. And at home we can keep the home clean, and we can decorate the home with devotional paraphernalia, like putting pictures all around the home. And inviting devotees to home, just like Gaudiya Mataji, Ramakrishna were inviting today. Inviting devotees to home, cooking for them, offering prasad to them, arranging such programs and taking the trouble. It's actually very troublesome. If you have to arrange a program at home, you know, naturally your mind will be in great tension. So many guests have come, I have to feed them, prasad should not fall short, you know. And prasad should be cooked properly, you know. Otherwise guests will be unhappy with me. There should not be mistake. So this is a transcendental anxiety for Krishna, spiritual anxiety. So this anxiety should be taken up. That means we are replacing our material anxiety with spiritual anxiety. Like Mother Yashoda was always an anxiety for Krishna, for when Krishna was a small child. Like that. Otherwise we are in anxiety about how I can enjoy, selfishly. So selfish anxiety will only bring forth suffering. But the spiritual anxiety, which we take for the pleasure of Krishna and the devotees, that will actually take us higher and higher. And what happens when our mind is preoccupied with thinking how to serve Krishna better? Like when you become a proper devotee, then you are thinking, oh, let me call that Prabhuji, let me call this Mataji for the program. Let me see how to help them to become better devotees. That means our mind becomes preoccupied with selfless thoughts of helping others. That selfless thought of helping others actually brings forth great joy to the heart of the soul. And it is Krishna's service also. It becomes service to Krishna also. So one has a garden at home, one can do gardening for Krishna. Nowadays people are living in flats. But if you have a garden, then you can do gardening for Krishna, can grow nice flowers like jendu and all that. Like in this way, Krishna, Radha and Krishna can become the object of our love by the superior engagement. That's why he's saying, unless we have a superior engagement, we cannot be firmly situated. And there are other section of people who say they're called as impersonalists or mayavadis. What they do when they see that my mind is going in wrong direction and the senses are going wild, instead of engaging in Krishna service, what they do, they say that you have to completely go away from the sense objects. Like they say, if you remember last time I was telling the Rishyasanga story. Isn't it? I was telling last time. His father told him that you should not smell any flowers, you know, you should not eat nice food stuffs, you have to live in a forest. The abstaining from the activities, one will not be able to control. Because Krishna says that even after you stop it, it's called Prati Ahar, we call it. Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana, Prati Ahar. Prati Ahar means shutting all the senses. You may close your eyes, you may close your ears and all that, but still internally the mind is contemplating on wrong things. One cannot stop it. One has to develop a higher taste. It is said, once Chandragupta, you all know Chandragupta, he asked Chanakya once, that when will one become completely free from that trouble of the mind, from trouble of the senses? So, and then he more specifically asked him, he said, the attraction that I have for the opposite sex is so strong, when does it die off completely? Does it die at 30 years? He asked. Chanakya laughed loudly. Yeah, does it die at 40 years? Chanakya still smiled. Does it die at 60 years? Yes, sir. Still Chanakya continued to smile. 80 years you are asking. And Chanakya said, enough of your question. Tomorrow, you come with me, I'll take you to a place where you will get the answer to this question. So he took him to a very old man's house who was lying in the bed, who was completely emaciated and all the bones were protruding out of his body. He was in the death bed counting his last few hours or days. He was lying like this. And he happened to be Chanakya's friend. So Chanakya went to see him. And then this fellow, he could not even lift his eyelids. With great difficulty, he opened his eyes. Who is that? He was asking. Chanakya said, myself and Chandragupta, we both have come to see you. And he said, I cannot even sit in my bed. So is it all right if I am remaining like this? And they allowed him, we'll be like that. And they were talking to him for some time. Then Chanakya whispered in Chandragupta's ears that he had a daughter called Rukmini. He called your daughter Rukmini to come here. She was about 18 years old. So the daughter came with her ankle bells. You call it ankle bells, is it? Nupur. And because you're making sound coming. As soon as this old man heard, he immediately started singing and she was coming and standing on the side. So there was Chandragupta standing, next thing there was Chanakya standing, third this girl was standing. And the old man's whole eye was there on the girl. He was looking at the girl. And when Chanakya was asking many, many questions, and the old man was answering, but his whole eyesight was there, looking at the girl. And then Chanakya whispered in Chandragupta, now you tell her to go back. And then she went back. When she went back, it took his face and turned around like that. He turned fully around, almost 360 degrees. He turned all around like that. And then they both returned back. And Chanakya asked, so, did you get the answer to your question? Yeah, Chandragupta said, yes, I got the answer. He said, that means the desire for enjoyment in this world is so deep-rooted that it is not possible for one to give it up. That's why Vishwamitra, he was also trying to suppress his senses. Krishna says here, suppressing senses is useless. Simply somebody tries to shut out the senses. So Vishwamitra tries to shut out the senses and sit and meditate on something void or impersonal. But then he heard the sound of Menaka's ankle bells, he opened his eyes and he fell down from his standards and he begot Shakuntala in a room. But on the other hand, Prabhupada explains, Yamunacharya, explains Haridas Thakur. There have been many great devotees. What was their object of meditation? Their object of meditation was Krishna. That was the object of the meditation. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, in fact, when we give such lectures, people even ask us, so what about you? Why did you become Brahmachari? You know that the whole world is going in one direction and it is difficult to control the senses. Why one should become Brahmachari? And it's better be, many people say that it's better best that one be a good grihastha, like that. Of course, Shastras don't condemn being a grihastha. Shastra says, Dharma aviruddho bhuteshu kamasmi bharatarshi, Krishna says. If one is practicing Dharma principles and one is living a pure Krishna conscious life, then grihastashram is permitted in that. But if one can remain a celibate or one can remain a sannyasi, because ultimately one has to become renounced from the petty pleasures of this world. Once you come to a point where one's focus is only Krishna. And even husband and wife, children, they all will have one main focus ultimately. Everyone has to come to that point. So now, one may wonder how renunciation is permitted. If Vishwamitra fell down, then how can Hare Krishna devotees live in the heart of the city, watching all the posters in the street and passing through and living in the city, how can they live a pure life? It is possible if They have a superior engagement, unlike Vishwamitra. He cannot meditate on void or impersonal thing. But Krishna's beautiful face is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. If one meditates on the Lord's face, in fact, there's a verse which explains,
Hasam hare ravanata kila loka tivra shokashu sagara vishoshana atyudaram sammohanaya rachitam mijamaya jasya brumandalam munikrite makaradvajasya.
It explains, Hasam hare, Hari means Krishna. Another name of Krishna is Hari. Hasam hare means Lord Krishna smile. Hasam means smile, muskan.
Hasam hare avanata kila loka tivra shokashru.
Shoka ashra means tears. Shoka ashra means the tears coming from intense grief. And sagara means ocean. All the people of this world are suffering oceanic grief. So many different types of suffering come in people's lives. People cry for different things. Somebody cries that my business has flopped now. Somebody cries that somebody has died in an accident, a relative. Somebody cries that, you know, my share market this problem. Everyone cries for different problems. Everyone has problems, but everyone is crying. So he says, but if one can behold the smile of Lord Hari, one can see that smile of Lord Hari, what happens? He says, Vishoshana Atyudaram. At once, this oceanic grief is dried up, he's saying, completely. And then he's saying, Sammohanaya Rachitam Nijamaya Yasya. And if one focuses on Lord Hari's beautiful eyebrows and the lotus-like petal eyes of Lord Hari, his beautiful eyebrows, he says, then one can, these eyebrows are just like the bow. They are like the bow of, just like the arched bow, the eyebrows are like the bow. Lord's eyes are so beautiful by seeing that one can become free from the Kamadev's bow. Kamadev is always hitting people's hearts with his makaradvajasya, with his bow. But he says, for the good of the sages, the Lord has such beautiful eyebrows. By meditating on this, one can become free from all lust. He says, so one should meditate on the Lord's eyebrows. And it is said, Lord's hair is very beautiful, just like a swarm of bees that are on a lotus flower. If you have a lotus flower, on the top of which you have a swarm of bees, humming bees. Black, you have seen the big black bumblebees? So Lord's hairs are like very beautifully curled locks of hair. And his face is like a lotus, he's saying. And his two eyes are like beautiful, two. Meena Dvaya, Shibadabja Netram. The two eyes are like fishes, two beautiful fishes in a pond. So he's describing all these things. See, the Lord is wearing a beautiful shark-shaped earrings. And the shark-shaped earring is shining on his cheeks. His cheeks are so polished that the shark-shaped earrings are seen on the cheeks. And the Lord's smile, that Manda Muskan, very, very slight smile. Because of his smile, the teeth are seen. And the rows of the teeth of the Lord are appearing like as if the jasmine buds are kept in a series. Not after blossoming. You have seen the, not this type of thing, like this. You know, you have seen the bud of jasmine. If you keep a row of jasmine buds, the Lord's teeth are like that. And the Lord's lips are so rosy, by the splendor of the lips, the teeth are shining with rose splendor, like that. In this way, in a very minute fashion, the beauty of the Lord's face, the Rasaraja's body, is very vividly described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And anyone who beholds this beauty of the Lord, how can he behold the beauty? You may try to imagine in the mind, it's very difficult imagining. But if we chant Hare Krishna every day, and we develop in our chanting, and we develop in our surrender and sincerity, gradually this beautiful face of the Lord will be revealed in the heart. One smile of Krishna is enough to shatter to pieces the great mountain-like pride that we have been possessing. Gopis are singing, My dear Krishna, your pride, I mean your smile shatters the pride in the heart of your devotee. Your smile shatters the lust. Your dust of your lotus feet, it makes the mountain of sinful activities into dust powder in the heart of your devotee. So in this way, by focusing on Krishna and surrendering to Him, one can completely become free from all this. So in another 5 minutes, I will tell a brief story and conclude the lecture today. In South India, there was a very great sannyasi called Ramanuja coming in Sri Sampradaya. It was called Vyatiraj. So in his days, one time in Sri Ranganath temple, there was a big festival. So in Ranganath temple, they have a Utsavamurti. Utsavamurti means the Lord Ranganath is represented by another deity, which they take for procession to many places like that. So they had taken the Lord's deity out of the temple, and there was a big festival occasion. There were lots of people. There were many Brahmanas chanting the Vedic mantras in the front. And there are also many professional singers and musicians who are playing many instruments and playing on. There's even Nadaswaram, you know, it's a big. I don't know how many of you know that. You all have seen that Nadaswaram? Long one, they play that. Something like Shanai Sound. So they were playing that. And there were also many horses and there were also elephants in procession. And the Lord's lady was being brought. And many people are offering the arati plate to the Lord. Coconuts and bananas and flowers and everything they were offering to Lord's service. And they were also offering the lamp, which was offering. In this way, the whole procession was so spiritual and the atmosphere was very, very divine and everyone was absorbed in worshipping the Lord. And whoever saw the Lord, they at once fell on the ground and offering obeisances. But then there was one man who had a very well-built body. He had a very good stamina, very good stout body. And he was holding an umbrella for a beautiful girl. Her name was Hemamba. So he was holding an umbrella and he was fanning her, rendering service to her. And when she was walking, he was also going along with her and he was fanning and fanning and fanning and walking like this. So Yatraj Ramanuja was coming from the opposite side. And he saw this sight and he was surprised. So he told his disciples, just see the sight. Such a quiet fool. He is having that girl by holding umbrella and fanning her. And all people are absorbed in beholding the beauty of the Lord and offering obeisances, offering puja place and everything. What is this man doing? He doesn't have any shame. In the public he is doing this kind of activity. Won't call him here, he said. Then one disciple went and called him. And the fellow came and he offered obeisances to Ramanujan. Asked him, sir, please tell me, how can I serve you? He asked very politely. So he asked him, who are you and everything, asked him, and he told. And this man himself, voluntarily, he said, then when Ramanuj asked him about this, the girl and everything, he said, I am not married to her, but I have never seen a pair of eyes in this world more beautiful than hers. That's why I give up all my shame. I just serve her. Wherever she goes, I go with her. And I am serving her. Then Ramanuj told them, if I show you a pair of eyes more beautiful than this, can you give up this service to her? He said, why not? Because this is my attraction, he said. If you can show me something better, then I will come with you. Then Ramanuj told him, you come this evening to the Ranganath temple, I'll meet you at the gate and I'll take you. Then they went in the evening. They went to the Ramanuj took him to the Sanctum Sanctorum. If you go to Ranganath temple, Lord Vishnu is lying in this Shantakaram Bhujagashayanam Bhujagashayanam Padmanabham Suresham Vishwadharam Gaganasarisham Megavarnam Shubhankam. Big form. Lord is lying there in a very majestic fashion. Lord is lying. And in Ananta Sheshi is lying. There is Ananta, you will see. And the Lord's form is like a blackish form. Three doors will be there. One to see the face of the Lord, one in the center and one on this side to see the feet. It's a huge deity. So you can go near the door and you can see. And Ramanuja took him very close to the Lord. The pujari took the aarti lamp and they would show the face. They would show the chest and they would show the feet and everything. They show that. So by Ramanuja's divine mercy, when this person, his name was Dhanurdas, when he was looking at the Lord's face, that time he got to see this beautiful lotus-like eyes. When he saw the eyes at once, ecstatic symptoms of prema, love for the Lord, started arousing in his heart. He started shivering and feeling great ecstasy and fell unconscious on the ground. And when he got up, because the Lord actually gave him the darshan, Lord wanted to show his real beauty to him so that Dhanurdas will become a devotee. And then when he got up, he told Ramanuja the kind of sight that he beheld a few minutes ago. He said that there is no beauty in this world I can think of which can surpass this one beauty. He said, I don't want anything, I just want to serve at the feet of this Lord Ranganath. You just keep me with you and engage me in the Lord's service. I don't want anything. Then later on hearing this, Hemamba, she also became a devotee. And then they both were married to one another and Dhanurdas became a very great devotee by that. That's what Krishna says, Param Grishwa Nivartate. So when one sees a higher taste, then all the other lower attractions will fade away. So they were talking about a different pleasure. This is the ultimate pleasure we were talking about. It is said in Vaikuntha. It's not in Vaikuntha there are no families. Even in Vaikuntha there are families. Even in the spiritual world, there are husbands and wives traveling in Vaikuntha airplanes, from one place to another. They are rendering service to Lord Vishnu, they are rendering service to Lord Krishna. Even in the Goloka Vrindavan, the ultimate spiritual world. There are families like Yashoda Ananda Maharaj, or like many other families, covered families. Even there are gopis, there are gopas. You will find in the picture sometimes the gopis on one side and gopas on the other side, and Radha and Krishna, you know, they are playing. But there is not a trace of lust there. Not even a trace of lust. When they play holy by, you know, taking the syringes and pouring on into there, even if a gopi and gopa meet one another, and if they are whispering and talking, the talk is only about how to please Radha and Krishna. They have no other purpose in spiritual world. That desire for exploitation and enjoying, selfish desires, is not there in the spiritual world. Everyone wants to serve Krishna. And because of serving Krishna, because of the higher stage, the lower things are forgotten completely. So, in our early stage in our spiritual life, because we have not yet become so advanced in Krishna consciousness, we have to take a little extra measure to control our mind and senses. But when we keep doing that, that's why we restrict people, don't go here, don't go there, don't do this, don't do that. But then as you go higher and higher, what will happen? Automatically one will give up unwanted things. And one will take to full devotion service to the Lord with great joy, without even feeling any regret of missing them. You won't see them as deprivation. You know, in the beginning you see it as a deprivation. But when you become more advanced and mature, you don't see it as deprivation anymore. You feel you are saved actually. You are saved from wrong things. Hare Krishna. Anybody has a question or comment?
Thank you.
That you are Hare Krishna. People will say that, why you are going there? Krishna. See, the faster stage you will find that people, when they look at you first, they will tease you. Actually, first stage they don't tease you. First stage they tell you seriously that you should not go there, you know, don't go to these classes. You should be a normal person in inverted quotes. No. They'll tell you like that. But now sometimes they try to ridicule you and frighten you. Because when they ridicule you, become afraid. You may think that, you know, better not go there, no, better give up. And then when you continue going, when you become more and more serious, when they see that this is not the same person. Many people tell me that, you know, one gentleman met me yesterday, one big man had come to meet me. His friend said, he was totally transformed when he went to ISKCON, he said. He said, you know, I could not follow ISKCON. My friend tried to change me, but I didn't change. But I can tell about my friend. That's why he is not the same man now. He is totally transformed. What he was before and how he has become now, it is like difference between earth and sky. So they appreciate it internally. They have the appreciation. But externally they try to tease you and ridicule you to check what is your strength, to check whether you are really fixed up or you are superficial. In fact, many people, even those who ridicule in your friends, you will see that they go to other people and say that this person is a really very principled person. He's a very good person. But in front of you, they will ridicule you. So they have just tolerate it. Yeah. Actually, if you tolerate it, see, some people are innocent, you can give them Krishna consciousness. Some are sarcastic and ridicule. They ridicule. They ridicule you. So you keep a distance from them as far as possible. If you work in the same office, you don't talk about this topic to them. Because by raising this topic, then you will be inviting trouble. So you don't have to talk about this. You can keep a distance from them. And there are certainly people who will appreciate you also for what you are doing. There are all kinds of people. And in the initial stages, you will have this problem. But you will see, you practice for a few years continuously, like many of the brothers are practicing. 5 years, 8 years, after that you will become numb to all this. You will never be affected even slightly. You will not be affected by this kind of ridicule and other things. Because you know that that's the way of the world. You know, in this world everyone is like a monkey who has cut his tail. So they want everyone to cut the tail. If you see that, in fact the proper says the story, he says, a man who was cutting a tree into two, he kept his saw, but the monkey went and pulled that saw, you know, and his tail got into it. And he tried to pull the tail, in the course of trying to do that, his tail got cut, you know. So what he did, he went and told all the monkeys of forest, called them and said, see, the latest fashion is to not to have a tail. If you have a tail, you know, people will laugh at you. So better don't have a tail. And all monkeys went to him one by one and he was taking a scissor and cutting. You know, yet there are many monkeys like that, but there was one intelligent monkey. He told the other monkeys, see, he's fooling all of you. For a monkey, it is natural to have a tail. So really for a soul, it is natural to worship God. Bow down to God, worship Him, think of Him, chant His names. In fact, we see that when you go closer to God, you feel a great joy. You just go to a temple, how do you feel? You go to a temple, sit in front of God, and chant His names for a few minutes, you feel so natural. So it's natural for a monkey to have a tail. But this monkey got his tail cut, so he wants to cut everyone. That's why when people want to drink or, you know, when they want to have a party, they always call others. So they cannot do alone. You've seen that? Why they call others? Because they want company. Misery loves company. So they want to call others and they also want to make others like that. So you can remain where you are and try to preach to them and get them, but if they are excessively ridiculing or not taking it seriously, then we don't talk to them about this. If you keep mum, then they will have to become quiet. So who all have come newly today for the first time? Yeah?